Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Today We Learned. We took a week off, and hopefully you guys took a week off of all your work, and now you're back and having, you know, whatever. Hopefully you're just having a good time. Thank you for listening.
And if you're not, that's okay, because we're here to turn that frown upside down, turn it back into a smile using the miracle of science, and if not science, just facts.
Facts, facts, and more facts.
Yeah, just the facts, ma'am, or sir. I don't.
Just the
I
fax
know
machines.
Life.
Just, you know, the lots of printed papers.
Just like those old Valentine's Day hearts. Fax me.
Fax me.
I guarantee you, most
frequently
most teens would have no idea what a fax machine is.
We got lots of fax machines and frequently asked questions.
Yes,
and we have some actual facts with a T.
Yes,
we got some of those coming.
Facts with an F. For fact, yeah.
Fact, yeah.
Get fact.
Get fact. Yeah, it's been, we love you guys as always, and we love Aristotle, who's sitting here and records with us every week, and
yeah,
we love our guest.
He's
our guest,
pretty all right.
Our
guest is
our
great.
Our guest is a great guest. He's a very funny friend of mine. He's a very funny stand-up comedian. He travels all over the United States, and he's got a new album out that you guys should go check out.
Yeah.
On Pandora's Comedy Showcase, I believe, is the
name
of it.
Yeah, it's exclusively streaming there. It's available, I think, for pre-order on iTunes.
Yeah. Breaking new ground. He's part of a new thing, and it's really cool, and everybody should check it out. He's a really cool guy, really nice guy, really down to earth, and he's a great guest, and we enjoy it. We're very excited.
And you guys will hear.
You guys will hear
momentarily.
And we love you guys and continue listening and supporting the show and have a great day.
Yeah.
So without further ado, today we learn number 85 with Nate Craig.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
I love that Mars Attacks alien in the corner.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes I'll just talk in that language.
That movie.
I've seen that movie in so long.
You can hear exactly what they're saying.
Oh, like, yeah.
They nailed that.
Yeah.
That language for those things.
People shit on that movie, but it was such a just absurd, funny movie to me.
I think it came out during the wrong time.
It came out during the wrong time, and it was based off playing cards that were really just storyless anyways. Like,
that
it's
had
just
been
like,
around since 1962.
Absolutely.
It was based off playing cards.
Yeah, a series of
that.
Like science fiction trading cards came out in 1962. These artists, Wallace Wood and Norman Saunders.
Holy shit.
Yeah, based on the cult trading cards of the same name.
I don't know how people... I don't know how you can shit on that movie. It's so tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
It's like... It was my favorite movie. It's so funny. I mean, just the aliens alone, I could watch them... communicate.
They're like a great
and you're like, no, it's so detailed,
you know,
so
exactly
specific.
Like what they're talking to each other, like you could, like,
so I says
I says to Mabel, I says
don't feel guilty about murdering these humans, they're real creatures.
Ladies and gentlemen, that voice you hear, very funny friend of mine, very funny stand-up comedian. He's got a new album out. You should check it out. You should see him all over. He travels all over the United States doing shows and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I said, good day, sir. A little bit of a
Willy Wonka
there. ladies and gentlemen, Willy Wonka. Gene Wilder, ladies and gentlemen. ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast, Mr. Nate Craig.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
Yeah, it's great to be here. What's the line that he says when he grabs the little girl by the face after the lickable wallpaper? Snozzberries. Who ever heard of a snozzberry? And he grabs her by the fucking face.
Yeah.
And he goes, "We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of the dreams." And in the remake, they cut the legs off that scene. That scene made me hate that remake so much. And the remake looked amazing.
Yeah, it looked amazing, but it was nowhere near as like unsettling or creepy as the first one.
Because
there were some moments in that first one, like the boat ride.
There's no
like
sign of ever stopping.
No.
Yeah, no,
which direction we are going?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it raining? Is it snowing?
Yeah. It's that. Well, but that one sign where it was like Willy Wonka was like he was, you know, it's if it seems inappropriate to grab a kid by the face. But the point was she had lost her imagination.
Yeah.
She was now a gutted, soulless,
an adult,
and he grabbed her by the fucking face and he said that to her. And the equivalent, the same scene is when the squirrels are like. When they're harvesting walnuts. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing in that little squirrel tank in the new one. And Johnny Depp is so good. And the response that Johnny Depp gives the in the remake at that moment is, "You're weird."
Yeah.
And it's solid.
Can you imagine like people shit on what he looked like? And yeah, he kind of looked weird and creepy, but he was too much of a kid. Like he looked as he sounded and all of that. Now, if you took what Johnny Depp looked like and put Gene Wilder's character in that, it would have been so much more weirder and creepier. Like if he's this pale dude with this, you know, He-Man haircut and this hop hat, and he grabbed someone and he's like, "We are," you know, and he was that condescending.
Yeah.
It would have been creepier than Willy Wonka's, than Gene Wilder's condescendment, because he looks like he's pale and he's like a, you know.
I didn't think Gene Wilder condescended. I think he was just forceful about his hopefulness. Like he was just like aggressively like, "No, I am. You need me on this wall."
Yeah.
Did you order the code red? The Mountain Dew code red?
All right. Did you order the
the snozzberries?
What's it called? The never-ending gobstopper? Yeah.
Everlasting gobstopper.
Everlasting gobstopper, yeah. Right. Sorry.
Gene Wilder, he's getting up there. He's going to be someone I miss. He's going to be a sad death when he dies soon.
Well, something to look forward to.
I mean, knock on wood, but you know, he's been in so many things that just have inspired my childhood.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Nate, as I've mentioned, and as our listeners know, we'd like to start off each episode with the guest providing a fun fact about themselves or something they learned recently, with no, absolutely zero rules to the.
All right. I'm fresh off the Scientology documentary, and I learned how much the Church of Scientology is worth. That was the scariest fact.
Much are they worth?
Well, they only got. I guess in the documentary, which makes you think these are the only numbers that they actually were able to obtain, they said the three largest entities of the church are worth $1.5 billion.
Oh, my God.
And there's I believe they said over 20 of those. So they're probably worth in the vicinity of $50 billion.
Yeah. I read in the thing,
$40 billion.
I read maybe 3 years ago. In Los Angeles, and it could have, I don't know if it's just Los Angeles or it could have been the United States or, you know, the world, I suppose. But from what I understand is they own the most historic buildings in Los Angeles, like all the real historic buildings that are like labeled historical landmarks and things like that, that are untouchable and stuff like that. They own those. I remember reading that. I could be skewing my facts since it's like a 3-year-old. I remember reading about it, but it's, you know, it makes sense when you think about their locations and how long they've been around.
Who knows? Maybe that's a good thing.
No, absolutely, because they're just willy nilly tearing down all these skyscrapers,
busfuls of school kids away from these historical
these
monuments,
lead paint buildings.
Yeah. Right.
Did you guys see over in Silver Lake recently in Los Angeles? Someone painted an entire like little city block white.
I've seen
this
Instagram
old,
photos
this
of
old
this.
Hotel.
I saw photos, yeah.
This hotel was nicknamed the Bates Hotel, not of like psycho fame,
but
it was it used to be a hotel back in the day. It was condemned, and the site is slated for demolition.
Yeah.
And this Parisian artist, this guy from France, he's been coming to Los Angeles for years and always visits Silver Lake, and he was sort of sad to see how they let this piece of LA history sort of go by the wayside, and they're just going to knock it down. So what he did is he took this lime wash, a like ecologically friendly white paint made of like limestone, whatever, and
juice.
He covered, lime juice, basically limestone juice, and
bitters.
Yeah, exactly. He painted the whole thing as sort of like a testament to how LA is disappearing. Like the LA he knew, the LA that like
he even painted the palm trees on the block.
Yeah, it is so like it'll slowly start to fade as like it gets as like, you know, the days wear on. Yeah. But
that's pretty cool.
Definitely the day I saw it though, there was police and police helicopters everywhere for an unrelated matter, but it seemed like there'd been some sort of fucked up murder, then the killer just like left a giant white block. I was like, well,
he murdered the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, seriously, like, get Batman, get the Ghostbusters, something is up.
Right. Yeah, and it just, it looks, like, it's so interesting. Like, he painted the trees, like, how, like, that clearly, just to paint those, the tops of these palm trees, like, what kind of construction crane did you how
he
much
had
did
a,
that cost?
He had one
he
of those
at least
baskets.
Had a ladder.
Yeah, like yeah. That's the thing is like these artists
or really good aim.
Like how much money did this artist spend to do that? Like that's just like unless someone obviously is bankrolling it, but it's still fascinating that type of a thing.
Yeah. I mean something else I learned at one point somebody wrote a check to the Church of Scientology for $25 million. So if there's maniacs out there like that, there's some people who like art that enough to fund a little whitewash my favorite Silver Lake City block project.
There's certain people like I wonder how much like someone like Banksy winds up spending each year like on travel and like weird supplies and shit like that.
Yeah, he only uses the finest cardboard for his stencils.
Yeah, probably like this is exquisite wheat paste.
Well, they all have they're all bankrolled. You know, once you get to a certain level where you're a brand, you know, people, you know, collectors and people with money, they get in line to bankroll people like that. That's how it has always been, you know, contract work and stuff like that. That's how artists like, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio. No, I mean, you know, like that's how painters back in the day.
They had patrons and all that.
Yep, for sure.
Michelangelo and all that people bankroll.
Yeah, Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael. Yeah, Master
all
Splinter.
All the turtles.
Yeah. Kind of like in
all
heist
the great
movies.
Turtles from history.
That's fascinating. Just to paint.
Paint a block.
Yeah.
Paint a block.
Let's just paint the, you know, painting the town red, but instead painting it white because the city's a ghost and is disappearing.
It very much is. It's like just today or this past weekend, the Santa Monica, to get the Santa Monica loop or the California coast ramp or incline or something. It's one of those things. There's a name for it. They're tearing it. It's been there for like 81 years, and it takes you from Santa Monica Boulevard onto the PCH or vice versa. They're tearing that down to build something else, and that's been like a staple of Santa Monica's history in Los Angeles for such a long time, and now they're just tearing it down.
Wow. I don't know what they're going to do in the meantime. That connects the PCH to, I mean, with the exception of the
downtown,
10. There's only two ways to get to the PCH, as far as I know.
Exactly.
Well, no. I mean, that's not true.
From my house in Culver City and yours, you'd probably either take Lincoln or the 10.
Yeah.
But if you're from Santa Monica, or even if you live in Malibu and you work in downtown Santa Monica, now you got to go all the way around.
Bullshit.
That'll teach you.
That'll teach you to live in Malibu.
To live on the west side of Los Angeles.
Why did I even buy a house in Malibu?
Yeah, right?
Should have just bought a car I could live in.
Nate, you're a football fan.
I am a huge football fan.
What's your favorite football team?
I root for the Green Bay Packers.
That's what I thought. I thought that. Here's the thing. Did you? I mean, obviously you knew this. I'm not a sports fan, so you probably knew this. You probably know more about what I'm about to say than I do. Other than the fact that I know my dad owns one share of the Green Bay Packers because he's one of those things where when he finds out anybody can buy something like that, he's like, I want to be a part of that too.
Sure.
And I love my dad, but that's funny. And
it's one more share than I own.
Yeah.
But I think it was only like, it's like $100 or something.
It's like 300, just under 300.
That's two hot dogs.
The Green Bay Packers, for those of you that don't know, is a football team. It's the part of the NFL. The National Football League.
One of the original franchises. Mm-hmm. Originally the Acme Packers.
Okay. Yeah. And they're owned by the city, essentially, right? They're owned by normal people, civilians.
Yep.
Not billionaires.
Yeah. I believe originally Brown County, which is the county that Green Bay is in. And they are a publicly owned team.
Yeah, yes. Their name, the Green Bay. Now, when you think of Green Bay Packers, you think of the Cheeseheads or the cheese or Green Bay cheese or the Green Bay
cheese. Acme meat packing
company. Yeah, well, it's actually the name, according to Wikipedia here, Green Bay Packers. They were founded in 1919 by former high school football rivals Curly Lambeau and George Whitney Calhoun. they solicited funds for the uniforms from their employer, the Indian Packing Company, and they were given $500 for the uniforms and equipment on the condition that the team be named for its sponsor. So the Packers are named after the Indian Packing Company.
There you go.
Did they pack cheese?
They was a company involved in the canned meat industry.
Yeah, yep. Probably a lot of bratwurst.
Yeah.
When the company was absorbed, they were absorbed by the Acme Packing Company in 1921. So really, they were only a company for 2 years, like 2 years since.
Yeah.
The football team was only around 2 years before the company, Indian Packing Company,
and
got.
Their colors were not always green and yellow. Do you know what the old ones were?
Blue and beige, I believe.
Blue and gold.
Blue and gold, yeah.
Yeah, probably like a beige gold.
A worn out.
A khaki gold.
A worn out, dried pant beige.
Yeah, they changed in 1950 because Lambo went to Notre Dame, so he wanted to make the colors after his.
Spice
they were previously after his alma mater.
I got it.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, shit, man, keep coming with the Packers shit. I'll talk about the Packers all day.
Next on PackerCast.
Well, the Lambo leap. Do you know what that is?
I was there when it was created.
Really? You were there?
First time they ever did it. Yeah, they stepped on the Oakland Raiders.
Mm-hmm. December of 93.
Jeff Hostetler. I believe is his name. Am I getting that?
It says it was first performed by Leroy Butler.
Leroy Butler, yeah, no. Reggie White sacked the Oakland's quarterback and then picked up a fumble and ran with it and realized he was too big and he was not going to make it to the end zone, so he lateraled it to Leroy Butler, and Leroy Butler ran into the stands and he jumped in the stands. It's about 20 below, and I was at that game.
You were there.
Oh, wow.
December 26th, 1993.
And it says here that actually wide receiver Robert Brooks gets credit for popularizing it, though.
That's probably true. Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, he definitely scored a lot more touchdowns than Leroy Butler did.
Yeah.
So it's a popular thing, then. It's like a thing that...
Oh, they do it every time. Yeah. If it's a home game, they very rarely does a player not jump into the stands.
Huh.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And you were there at the first one.
A very first
That's
one.
Really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah,
I'm a New England Patriots fan. I grew up in the Boston area.
Lucky.
And after
Lucky
they,
you.
Yeah, it's been nice. After they score a touchdown in either end of the stadium, they have a line of musket men who pack muskets and fire them off.
Sure.
Every touchdown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do that for New England Revolution games as well, but they don't score as frequently.
Seems a lot.
Yeah.
Seems
I know.
Like a lot
yeah, they go through. We go through more gunpowder and musket balls than any other state in the union.
And if you're sitting up top, you stand a good chance to die.
Oh yeah, we have the highest fatality rate of any professional sports team.
Death by musket.
Yeah. How'd they die? Slain by musket.
Those Patriot fans really give their lives.
Yeah, you know, you get a bleed for your team.
That's funny.
And yeah, you were saying that your dad owns stock. In the team, and I think I read that some over 100,000 people own a piece of that
stock.
Yeah,
it's very pointless. Like, I don't think you can sell it or give it away or anything like that.
It's not a dividend stock.
No, but it's just
a cool thing. It's
you
like
can sell
buying.
It. I think you can sell it, but I think they just buy it back from you at whatever it's valued at, and that's
just the same price as it always is.
No, it goes up, and it's split. I think recently, I'm not sure. They reissued stock because. They were raising money for this expansion.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is pretty. That's pretty fucking cool. Like times, if clubs, if any sport want to build a stadium, they have to like
find a new. Company.
They have to like submit a bill, and then the state legislature has to be like, "All right, are we going to give $200 million to the Cardinals? Yes, we are because Bud Light sells Budweiser sells them. But in Green Bay, all they got to do is be like, hey. Who wants to be an owner of the team? And everybody's like,
we do.
We'll do it.
Yep.
And then before you know it, they got this beautiful renovation that looks like, you know, it's an awesome stadium.
Yeah.
If you're a sports fan, I can't recommend it highly enough.
I definitely want to make the trip there.
Really
someday.
Fun spot to go see a game. And hot dogs are not that expensive up there. You can creep up on a couple.
Nice.
More hot dogs than you care to eat for. They'll probably just give them to you in the parking lot.
Yeah. Excellent. That's exactly what I want to hear.
Yeah. If you walk around with a Tom Brady jersey, you will probably get handed beers and hot dogs and hamburgers.
Really?
Yeah. It's a much different experience. People always brag about like how shitty their fans are.
Yeah.
Like Oakland Raider fans. Like
who's Tom Brady play for? for?
New England Patriots. Patriots.
So they would give the bad guy
yeah,
team
yeah, yeah.
free stuff?
Even Bear fans, like if you go to Lambeau, and especially Bear fans, because there are so many Bear fans in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and there's such a tight correlation between those two. Those two franchises are two of the original franchises, and people just it's a party and people in Green Bay they take the team too seriously, but they do not take the experience too seriously.
Okay,
like,
so no
very
like,
much there to have a good time.
No like fist fights like Dodgers and Giants fans have.
Yeah, it's first of all, it's just an older fan base. Mm-hmm. It's a very old, like I went to that the reason I was at that Oakland game. My buddy, his uncle was like an original investor in the Packers. I think he has like a block of 16 seats and then a block of four seats.
Shit. Wow!
So that family was nice enough to take me to maybe 10 games. Growing up,
that's awesome.
So you're from Wisconsin?
I'm from Madison. Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
because I knew you were from Chicago. I mean, you moved out here from Chicago.
From Chicago, okay. Yes. But originally from Wisconsin.
Okay.
And that uncle. I mean, I went to half a dozen games with him, and he was in his 90s. He had like the biggest hearing aids I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. We had to get him to a seat in a wheelchair. And
yeah.
I mean, he's not the only one like that up there.
No,
like,
of course.
People
of course.
Who are that's they
since day one.
Yeah, they're just. You know, they've been lifelong Packer fans, and that's why, you know, it's kind of a fam. It's like, you know, it's hilarious and it's kind of corny, but it's true. It's like a family, being a Packer fan is a family business.
Well, that's refreshing to hear, though, because you always hear about just people being the worst at sporting events. So it's nice to know that, like, not everyone is just out to kill each other or
kill
other
people. It's almost like the family, like, you bring family. It's almost like when you, like, when you're young or whatever and you bring your friends home, your family's, regardless of where they're from or whatever, they welcome them in and it's like their home. So it's almost like it sounds like you're saying, like, even the tailgating is like anybody from any team. It's like, come on, celebrate this fun. You
it's
know,
fun. The last,
our house is your house.
The last time I went to Lambeau, I guess it was two games ago that I went to. I went to see them play the Steelers. It was a while ago. It was probably like 10 years ago. And the Steeler fans travel pretty well. Like those mm-hmm. Steeler fans, they care about that fucking shitty ass team. There's a big, huge group of them, and they were looking to antagonize. Like,
yeah.
They were, it was getting into the stadium, and it was just like if they were in the middle of a sea of Packer fans, and we were just listening to them be assholes. And then they kind of realized that, like, you can do that if you want to, but it's gonna be way more fun if you don't.
Exactly.
Enjoy yourself.
Like,
it's the Packers and the Steelers. Like, you can't get any cooler than that.
Yeah.
Like, let's just, like, not, don't, you know, and then I can't lie. Me and my buddy lit them up pretty good, but it took them being assholes before we started firing back at.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and a couple of them were wearing Kangols, so we just started banging them.
Was it Ghostface?
It was these two. They were just little guys. They were super loudmouths. They had their fucking Roethlisberger jerseys on, Kangols, and we just started blasting them. We just called their hats berets, and I can't remember what we said. We just like
that's just, awesome.
Funny. Yeah, we started firing them.
You were mentioning you watched the Scientology documentary.
So everything I say about Packer fans is true unless I'm there, and then they're the worst. Go ahead, Scientology.
You watched that documentary?
I did. I loved it. I really liked it.
I recently watched a documentary on Netflix that kind of. I learned a couple things off of. It's called
March of the Penguins.
Penguins are no. It was called Supermensch: The Legend of Shep Gordon, and it's on Netflix. And it's a really great documentary. It's directed by Mike Myers, not the murderer from Halloween. But who cares then? Austin Powers himself. And it's about the manager. His name's Shep Gordon. He was a manager he managed Alice Cooper, and he helped Alice Cooper become super huge in the 70s. And he's also in the documentary. He pretty much created the famous chef, like he created the celebrity chef.
Huh.
He created Emeril. He created the Wolfgangs. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have the Elton Browns or the Wolfgang Pucks or anything like that. Because he created the way to monetize the chef's name. Because back in the day, they would work. They would do. They would be these they were known chefs around the circuit, but they would cook at these restaurants and they would have to go eat somewhere else because the restaurants all had rules about the help can't eat or be seen and all that. And he's like, this is not right. So he helped develop the idea of these chefs having name brands to where, like in the thing, he's like, Chef Boyardee is a fake chef in the grocery store. He came up with the idea to put Emerald seasoning and to make it a thing to now all these chefs have their name brands and all that type of thing. Yeah, Shep Gordon. On top of the fact that he helped, you know, it's very interesting how he pretty much, when you think fake it till you make it, when you watch this documentary, you see how much Alice Cooper and that career was all just constructed facadically by, you know, it was very smart. It's a very cool and great documentary if you want to watch this short documentary too on Netflix.
I fucking love the word facadically.
Yeah.
What's the word?
I don't believe it's a word, but
definitely not. But
it's
not.
But I just created it.
Yeah, it's definitely.
It's a good word.
No, because
it's a facade.
It
but it's, I mean, it's, you know, if you do things methodically or however, I can't even say that word methodically. I can say facadically, but I can't say methodically. It's you know, because it's, you know, it's a, I don't know, it's a great word, and I'm going to start using it.
It works for me.
Yeah. Listen, if fucking Bootylicious can make it into the goddamn Oxford English Dictionary, facadically, which has better and more appropriate uses.
Yeah. Hashtag facadically.
Yeah, make it happen. Come on, guys.
Come on, Twitternet. Yeah, so I learned that. That was pretty neat.
Going back to, you know, we were talking about how, actually, no, I found what I was looking for. I was looking up the richest celebrity chefs in the world. Number 10, Jamie Oliver. How much do you guys think that Jamie, do you guys know who Jamie Oliver is?
Yeah, he's the young, or yeah, kind of young, like he tried to revolutionize like school lunches,
yes,
in the UK and then also in America. Yeah, I like that guy a lot.
Yeah, he had a pretty interesting show.
$12 million.
Razzle, what do you think?
I don't know who he is, but I'm going to look him up. I'm going to say, what did you say?
12.
12? I'm going to say 1201.
Oh,
well, I'm
going
to price
closest
right
without going over $30 million.
No,
price is right.
Yeah, 12 is low. 12 is low. if you know who he is, a chef, I mean, shit, he's
12 million is still a lot for a chef when you think about it.
What do you do? Sell?
Actually, I think that might have been out of date. I don't know if that's correct
more,
after all.
More,
you know,
he's only 39.
I gotta find. Here's the thing. This, I think that's wildly out of date. $30 million. Because I have another listing here that says his net worth is $235 million. Maybe he made that in a year. Maybe
wow,
he made the $30 million last year.
$12 million is low.
Yeah. So let me find a more reliable listing.
I guess you
listing
just don't get that kind of name recognition.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I don't know his name,
but
I know who.
Without piling up. well more than $12 million.
If people like, yeah. Yes, very, I mean,
he's still paid $8 an hour.
Right. Well, he's worked hard.
If people know
so long. He works 3,000-hour weeks.
Oh, shit, no. He was, for 2014 to 2015, Jamie Oliver was the richest chef in the world with a net worth of $185 million.
Wow,
according
what's
to
he
sport,
making his money doing?
According to SportRichList.com, probably has a number of restaurants, cookbooks, licensing agreements.
He's cornered the private school.
38. Yeah.
Private school lunches market?
Probably,
that's
yeah
the market you want to corner.
Yeah, get into like Harvard Westlake or another like right private
anywhere
school
where
like that.
Somebody's paying 50 grand a year for their kid to go to 8th grade.
Yeah.
Genius.
Right yeah below him, genius. Right below him was Gordon Ramsay, age 47, who is worth $94 million.
For being a cook, that's amazing.
Yeah, but he also has,
and I don't mean that
a television
as being a
empire and a number of restaurants.
I don't mean that derogatory. I mean that's just when you're, you know,
he's
30
a food
years
slave.
Ago, 30 years ago that was talked about like I would have, you know, it's a whole different – it just goes to show you that there's like – like I just seen one of our mutual friends posted a link today that's saying how like real-life sports is on its downfall and that more people are tuning in and paying money to watch people play video games live. Like
esports,
wow, such a
– esports is a crazy fucking industry. It is blowing up. There's
really
colleges that are offering scholarships now for people who play the video game League of Legends, because that is
that is
one of the most popular esports games in the world, and they routinely have like prize purses of $1 million.
Jeez.
Whoa.
We recently had there was the Call of Duty Championships here in Los Angeles. The team that won, they're all like age 18 to like 22, 23. They won $400,000. So these four kids each walked away with $100,000 for spending a weekend playing video games.
Spending Yeah, several weekends.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, but like for one weekend of work,
spending thousands of weekends.
Yeah,
but yes, that's pretty great. That's
but
pretty
doubling great. Down on their initial $60 video game investment.
Yeah,
and you know,
and having zero friends. No, that's no. Hey,
no, some of these people have insane amounts of followers.
Absolutely.
There's a streaming platform called Twitch.tv, and I think over the weekend they had another like championship edition of this League of Legends game. I checked how many people were watching. 400,000 people were streaming this game broadcast concurrently.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Like 20 years ago, that would have been unheard of. Like that would have, you know,
networks would kill for those numbers.
Absolutely.
And like the average user will stay on there for 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah, I mean that's now if you do that nightly though. I wonder how many people would turn it. Do you know what I mean?
Depends on the game. Usually the highest rated channels outside of like an event like that, they can pull down between 15 and 30,000 concurrent viewers.
Amazing.
Like those are like the ones that people flock
that's
to
like
most.
FXX usually, numbers.
Usually. Yeah. What are you watching, Man Seeking Woman?
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty staggering. It's a gigantic growth industry.
My gut tells me that I would rather watch golf than watch someone play video games.
Yeah, but well, they do have like color commentators, so they make. I've been curious because they managed to make some of the action that would be otherwise impenetrable. Like they make some of these moments feel exciting.
I'm gonna need there to be a lot of trash talk, and I'm gonna need there to be a backstory.
Oh, they do that. They like cut together packages with like interviews and create rivalries and all that.
Oh man, lame.
Interesting thing. Well, the interesting thing I find about this, especially through Twitch, is there's a chat element, like a live chat element.
Wow.
And so you're watching along with all these people, and you're commenting in real time. Chatting with other people, like talking shit, and like creating your own rivalries there.
It's very much the technology, like it's. Like I've always said to myself, I didn't want to be the old man, but I'm starting to, like, be that person. Only because, I don't watch sports anyways. Like I feel the same way about it as I don't understand watching other people play a video game as much as I don't understand watching people play football or basketball and getting upset about it. But it's also like in this day and age, you have that type, like Twitch, like all these streaming, you have this Periscope now and these meerkats where people are watching people live stream life and events and people are getting lots of followers. And I'm slowly becoming my dad playing the regular Nintendo, trying to move Mario by moving my hands. And it's, it's the future of just
is this,
everything.
Is this your father, the NFL franchise owner,
co-owner of the Green Bay Packers.
Co-owner.
Well, the thing I think the reason people are latching on to live streaming is it's sort of the next step from YouTube, where people were showing up because they wanted personality-driven content.
Yeah.
They latched onto certain personalities the same way they used to on TV.
Yeah,
but this is a direct form of interaction with them. If you're watching someone live stream, they're responding to the chat in real time.
Yeah,
and you feel more of a connection with those people. Than you might if you're just watching a piece of pre-recorded content.
It'd be like. Well, I mean, tweeting at football players while they're playing and having them acknowledge and talk to you while they're like in between things.
Exactly.
Can you imagine when that happened? That's going to happen eventually.
71.5 million is the number of people who tuned in to watch an esports event in 2013.
Jeez.
That's worldwide.
Total.
Yeah, total. 71.5 million worldwide.
How many people tune in millions to, sport? I mean, you got soccer alone triples.
Oh, I mean, easily. Here's the thing. It's like...
In 10 years, when regular terrestrial TV is not a real thing and you have, you know, you can do everything like that on, you know...
Yeah.
There's this company, Blizzard.
I got to get on board with watching video games.
Yeah. ESPN3 has been showing his tournament called Heroes of the Dorm, like a collegiate tournament, like for the past several weekends.
Oh, wow.
It's coming. No. They're coming.
I can't say watching a bunch of like comics play, almost like Call of Duty or like a game where, you know, 4-on-4 playing a game and just. It'd be almost like the good at midnights when they're friends and they're ripping
each other,
watching that, playing a game.
That's why people. That's a big reason why people tune in. Recently, Grand Theft Auto, they had a live stream where they had all the members of Dipset, the New York City rap group, come in, and they were fucking hilarious on there because they're just all talking shit on each other and like losing their minds. So it's if stuff like that, it's more entertaining than just seeing like a group of teens just being like, all right, mom sucks, dad sucks, video games rule.
Right, but what you do sacrifice in there is the actual level of play.
Yeah.
Like you're it's all about like if I'm interested in personalities, why am I watching them? Why is the video game the conduit for their personalities? Why wouldn't I just watch them if they're a rap group? Why wouldn't I just go to their concert? But I see what you're saying. Like it's the personalities involved with the activity, but you got to be the Venn diagram has to be two circles.
I agree.
This rap group, this video game, and then this rap group playing this video game.
Yeah,
as opposed to like watching the best player
in
the world
at
this video game.
Where they're trying to get in a new audience to watch. Oh, we want the fans of this rap group to see our video game because maybe they'll like it.
That's, I guess, kind of like that leads up to boxing too, where it's like you need them to be loudmouths. You need them to be like trash talking before the fight and tweet. You know, you need that rivalry. Otherwise, it's just two dudes in a ring punching each other. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Back to the chef topic.
Yes.
I learned recently something.
Okay.
I never really learned how to properly cook a steak.
Tell me about
this. You want to brown it in the oven, and then you flash fry it at a very high heat.
Interesting.
Really? You make that crust so it's still... So it's nice and pink in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it seals in those juices.
But otherwise, I just been frying a steak on high heat.
Yeah.
And then it cooks it so that it's just pink in the very middle. But then it's a little bit over. It's a little bit well done.
Edges.
Well done. The edges, you know, I can get the crust on the edges, but it's well done. You know, you want that like a shell and then pink. That's how I like a steak.
Oh yeah,
and I never knew how to do that.
A real good steak.
I suppose
you don't use seasonings or sauces. Like
sauces. Yeah. No sauce. Yeah. But you got. But then it has to be cooked so you can
properly.
Still taste the meat. And I guess I probably had been told that before, but I never. It never soaked in until I watched somebody do it, and then
sometimes you just need to see it happen. You're like, oh shit, what? Oh my god,
that's amazing!
Just light on some marblehead,
So
I love good steak.
So look out for my earnings next year. I will be
Nate Craig, celebrity steak chef,
freshly
steak
celebrity steak
freshly
chef
schooled.
Knives.
Freshly schooled.
Oh my god! I saw. Speaking of knives, real quick, I was changing channels last night, and there was a fucking infomercial on. This guy was selling a 158-piece knife set.
Jeez Louise!
For like $200.
Is that a one person or is that like a five meal? Is that a five
sold.
Person set?
It was. I don't know. It was just one. This weird old guy was like, "You got this. This is the Zombie Slayer, the Gutter, the Ripper." Buying,
sir? These are all the same plastic knives.
Never mind. What anyone
like.
Who calls in should instantly be put on a government
names.
Watch list.
Right?
Yeah, and they like all the zombie ones had like virulently green handles.
Right. That's
any purchaser is
like
keep a track on.
If you buy that, like the NSA should just swarm at your door. Like, no one needs 158 knives for $2 a knife.
Wow, I mean, they're pieces of shit. Piece of shit knives.
Yeah,
you can't sharpen these.
I bought 158 garbage knives.
These are all made out of the sides of Miller Lite cans.
made out of disused balsa wood airplanes.
Here's
a fact.
Here's something off of the Wall Street Journal. Recently from
great
the Wall Street Journal.
Journal.
I cut this block of cheese and my knife disappeared.
the origin of the term bum rush. Do you know if you had to think of the origin of the term bum rush, what bum rush means?
A bunch of homeless people running to get to the front of the bread line.
A bunch of homeless people.
Yeah.
Oh.
Really? Yeah, what were you going to say?
I was
going
to say a bunch of homeless people robbing a rich person.
Okay. According to this, it's like when it's a bunch of bums or homeless people rushing to get the like the snacks or things like that to get the free taste.
Yeah, when they put out
when
like shrimp cocktail at an art house opening.
They'd rush to look at the new art pieces.
These ungrateful sycophants.
Yeah.
Their thirst for Pinot Grigio.
Yeah. When
or cheese.
Or if you're at a Trader Joe's.
Bums. High end bums.
You're out of bums.
you're at Trader Joe's and they put out the little black bean dip that the one person at the back is making. Going back to stocks for a second, the Green Bay stock may not be worth much individually, but 2 weeks after co-founding Apple with Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, a man named Ronald Wayne sold his 10% share of the company.
Oh.
At the time, that 10% stock was $800.
Oh.
That would now be worth approximately $60 billion if he had held on to it.
Jeez.
You
Where
fucked up, Ronald Wayne.
Yeah.
at the bum rush.
It's amazing.
Oh, my. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
800 to 60 bill.
Yep.
That sucks. Sucks to be that guy.
Yeah. He really needed that 800 at the time.
Here's something. Here's a we'll get into a little nerdy fact here, according to Wikipedia and the internet here. Coming up shortly, Nate, are you a fan? What
I'm just doing the math on the percentage.
he's got his phone out and he's typing on his calculator. What do you got here?
Well, x over so 800 divided by 600000000 equals
so many zeros. So many zeros.
I don't even know. Oh, it's 1.33333333 e negative 8. Am I doing that right?
It's been a while since I've used exponents. The point is, he fucked up.
He
so
fucked
bad.
Up so bad.
So bad.
Maybe I'm doing it wrong. Okay. Sorry. Keep going.
That's a difference of
mathematicians out there.
$59 billion in 900.
So the new Avengers movie comes out soon.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. It's real good.
Hey, thanks, Dan, for that.
Okay. That feels about right. 75 million%.
Oh, Ronald Wayne, you fool.
75 million percent.
that is a real man. Heartbreaker.
That's horrible.
Oh man.
That's horrible.
Well, how was your day? You know, I lost lost a little bit in the market.
Really? What'd you do?
Oh my god.
Just a percentage.
Somebody else flipped my life's work.
he later
Yeah, they flipped.
Okay,
they flipped,
he made a little bit more. Later he accepted
what'd they get you for?
Later, in exchange for forfeiting any claims against Apple, he accepted $1,500.
how far after the $800 buyout was?
A year later. A year after he
my god. What does he do now?
Oh my.
Cry
after Apple.
Cry. He's the what's his name? He's the Terrence Howard of the Marvel universe.
he now lives in a fucking mobile home park in Pahrump, Nevada, selling stamps and rare coins.
Oh.
I love that guy. Can we set up a Kickstarter for that guy?
I'll fuck that guy.
Oh my god.
That's man.
Horrible.
I feel bad saying fuck that guy, but holy shit. $800. Well, it's not because they're in their garage, but you gotta know who.
He stated at the time, he said,
Bill Gates and the Steves, like, you gotta know that these guys
are on another level.
He said that he, quote, made the best decision with the information available at the time. He stated that he felt the Apple Enterprise, quote, would be successful, but at the same time, there would be significant bumps along the way, and I couldn't risk it. I already had a rather unfortunate business experience before. I was getting too old, and these two were whirlwinds. It was like having a tiger by the tail, and I couldn't keep up with these guys.
I guess back then, too, $800 was equivalent to maybe...
Yeah, back in 1976, that was like $900.
I should have paid them $800.
he drew the first Apple logo. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Because he worked at...
Should get him some kickback.
He worked with Steve Jobs at Atari
for hire.
Yeah.
Work for hire.
Yeah, maybe they can get him an internship. My god.
I'd love to see him.
He can't even...
75 million percent.
He can't even get Steve Wozniak on the phone.
Yeah. No,
Can I speak to Mr. Wozniak, please?
May I ask who's calling?
It's me, Ronnie. Ronnie Wayne.
Sir, can you take
dial
the,
tone?
Sir, can you take the can and string away from your
mouth? I'm curious. Would you like some rare stamps?
Holy cow.
Mr. Wozniak is all full up on stamps, sir.
Do you have any steak? He could use some more food.
Oh, my God. 75,000,000%.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's so that's, many percent.
It's brutal. That is super brutal.
OMG.
I mean, I complain about OMG. 22% capital gains tax. Can't even imagine. Here's something completely off topic. Ultron from the new Avengers movie. Ultron was the first Marvel character to possess the fictitious alloy adamantium, according to Wikipedia here.
That's correct.
Yeah, Johnny writes books over here, wrote a book about the Avengers.
I did,
things you should know about that. So Ultron was around prior to Wolverine then? Or was that just prior to them naming Wolverine's metal?
He was around prior to Wolverine.
Okay.
It was actually a different form of vibranium a different form of adamantium than the one that eventually Wolverine would have. Ultron is so strong because his body is a composite of vibranium, which is the substance that Captain America's shield is made out of, which you'll learn a little bit more about in
the new movie.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
I mean.
When does it come out?
It comes out May 1st in the U.S. It's already out in the U.K.
Which means what's you can the word find it online.
So far, overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. It's
you saw it?
Yeah, I did the press junket for it, so I had to interview.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a busy movie. There's a lot going on. It's actually 1 minute shorter than the last one, but there's like three times the amount of things that are happening.
That 1 minute's gonna ruin it for me.
I know.
Yeah.
Joss should have kept it going.
Should have
gone a little bit longer.
Another minute of the Hulk and Thor fighting.
So it's gonna be everybody. It's Hulk, Thor, is Iron Man in there?
Oh yeah, everyone and new characters. This changes things up if you've been a fan of these movies. They change the status quo.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Did you see the first Avengers?
Which one was that? Now we're out of my comfort zone here. Which one was that? I saw the one where, is that Captain America?
Yeah, they were all in it. It was the one with them all.
It was 2012. They had Thor, Hulk.
Robert Downey Jr.
Was that the one where Loki fights the Hulk?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I saw that for sure.
Yeah, I feel like that's the one that I think most people saw. Like that
was a fun battle scene.
Yeah, that was a great. Swinging them around like a rag doll.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, totally great. I was into it. And then there was the new one was the one where they brought Birdman in. Is that his name? Birdman?
Michael Keaton?
No. Oh, right. No, the black dude who played Falcon.
Oh, Falcon. Yeah.
Yeah. Captain America 2.
Birdman.
That's pretty much what it is. I mean, they should have just called it.
I legit thought you were making a Michael Keaton joke.
The guy with the jazz music.
Yeah. Charlie Parker. Bird.
Okay, which one was that, though?
That was Captain America Winter Soldier.
Wow,
yeah.
Captain America gets two.
Yeah, most of them have had. Iron Man's had three.
The guy with the least amount of superpowers gets two.
Yeah. He's just very,
white privilege.
Very old.
How's it again?
The ultimate superpower.
Just a good looking white dude with blonde hair
white
gets
dude.
Two movies.
Give him another movie.
Great jeans.
That's funny.
Falcon's over here can fucking fly.
Yeah.
Gets zero movies. No, he has to share one.
His enemy is the glass ceiling. He can't break through it.
Oh, the glass ceiling. The glass ceiling. Yeah, fucking banker with shoes that just form a shield.
It's the denier. No loans for you.
Standing on your mom's head. He stands on people's mom's heads.
That's what a horrible... that sounds like a supervillain in like The Tick or something like that.
Oh, The Tick. That was serious.
He's a lobbyist.
Yeah. Lobbyist by day.
Or no, he would have to be like a good person by day, right?
So Baron von Frack.
He would have to be like he works for the Red Cross by day, and then that's how he That's how he knows. He knows the inner workings of the, the culture of philanthropy.
The perfect crime.
Oh, you've gone to help women with single mothers in the floodplain. Activate ceiling.
We're trapped. Trapped like rats. Which will now have to eat to survive.
I can't breathe.
Have fun with your government checks, ladies. This is terrible.
Don't drop them. They might bow.
This is terrible. This is terrible.
Well, shifting gear. Did we talk about...
You can always measure a man by how thoroughly he embraces a horrible game.
Oh, yeah. Of course. You gotta lean into it. You gotta lean into it.
All about yes ending at this podcast.
No, but what about this?
I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
Oh, no. It's all good. Did we talk last time about the amount of time Darth Vader is in the original Star Wars?
We did not.
Well, let's talk about it. The original Star Wars film, one of the most indelible images, obviously, is Darth Vader. He's a scary guy, got that sort of samurai vibe. And the first movie...
Oh, he's a samurai, all right.
Yeah. Samurai am robot, because he's fucking mobile iron lung. New Hope was 121 minutes long. How long do you guys think that Darth Vader was actually on the screen for? Out of 121 minutes.
In New Hope, after. Wait a second.
This was the original 1977 Star Wars.
Oh,
like the first one,
the very first
not
one.
Not like the Phantom Menace, none of that prequel shit. Just like the very first movie that came out.
Yeah.
Percentage of the time he's on screen.
Percentage or minute total?
Yeah.
Minutes, and how long is the movie?
121 minutes.
I bet he's on screen for like 20 minutes. Ooh. 15 minutes.
15 minutes? You're very close. Very 12 close. Minutes.
Oh.
Yeah, 10% of the film. Or less than 10%, I should say.
You got it. You can't wear out his welcome.
Yeah, no. Like
much like Beetlejuice was only like 18, and like the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park was like 13 or something like
and,
that.
And Hannibal Lecter, only like some tiny amount of minutes. Yeah. He's only in a very small part of Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Ah, you just remember their scenes so vividly.
Yeah, well,
so
they
because they're
just
such good villains.
Scenery,
like,
yeah.
They
yeah.
just... Too much of them would be a bad thing, because that's the story. Like, they're the yeah.
My favorite Darth Vader scene was, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe this is in Empire Strikes Back,
mm-hmm.
when he comes, he's on the captain's room of the Star Destroyer or whatever, and he walks in and he's asking about something, and one of the higher up officers... you know, is telling us something, and he starts choking
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
That's my favorite Darth
yeah,
Vader.
Yeah, that's scene. When you're just like, oh shit, this guy means business.
Yeah,
do not mess with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. That was my favorite one. That was the one
you
that
know
stuck in
funny?
My head.
You know what we need to do?
Was it Star Wars or was it Empire Strikes Back?
That was. I'm pretty sure that was Empire.
I think it was Empire.
It might have been Star Wars though. It might have been if it was. You know, actually, it might have been Star Wars when they're talking about like the Death Star and why it's behind schedule or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, behind schedule. Would
behind
have been
schedule
Jedi.
Would be Jedi.
But, oh, yeah, it's true.
But they blow up the Death Star.
They blow it up at the end of the first one.
Yeah.
Then they blow it up at the end of the third one.
Yeah.
So it's one of those. What if you took Death. That scene of Darth Vader choking the guy out and you replace the dialogue with, there's no such thing as schnozberries. Then Darth Vader starts choking the dude and all you hear is... We are the dreamers of the dream.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of the dream.
He's pulling the music makers.
Pulling his collar.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to figure out how to do that.
That's
good.
So funny.
You got that's a good Darth Vader you got there.
Thank you.
Well, we're approaching our time, Nate. We appreciate you joining us. This is... Now it is your show.
Yeah, where can people
find
you?
What can people
you?
Find you? I know you got an album, talk about everything. Anything that you want to talk about and you want our listeners to know about. There's some really cool new things, I think, that like one. There's a company that's venturing in a new territory that you're the first of, I believe. I'll just let you talk about. Tell
cool.
yourself.
Yeah, no, I have a new album out. It's called Nate Craig Eggshell. You can pre-order it on iTunes starting yesterday. And it is exclusively released for the next 6 weeks on the Pandora Comedy Spotlight. It's a new thing. I'm actually the third comic to release an album on it, and it's got select tracks from my new album, about half of the album, and then video. We shot a show up in San Francisco at Docs Labs, great venue up in San Francisco. Go check that place out. That's awesome. And then there's also a mixtape from like all my favorite comedians that I like handpicked a lot of. I took 15, I think, comics and all their latest albums that I loved to death. Baron Vaughn, Rachel Feinstein, Aaron Foley, Kyle Kinane, Dave Waite, and a bunch more. Brent Weinbach, I think Eric Andre's on there. Just a bunch of really great comics. And, you know, the platform's really great. I couldn't be more happy that they chose me to release my album through there. So check it out. It's called the Pandora Comedy Spotlight. And you can find anything else having to do with me at natecraig.com. And I'll be... I don't know. I'll be at Zany's Rosemont in June.
Okay.
And at Cuckoo's in Wausau, Wisconsin.
Gotta love comedy club names.
Memorial Day weekend.
Wonderful.
And until between now and then, I'll be in L.A. doing shows.
Awesome. Awesome.
Awesome.
Do you have any plugs?
Currently got no plugs yet. Listen to my other podcast. You guys know that.
Picking favorites on the Wolf Pop Network.
Yeah, listen to that. Follow me on Instagram. My name is Razzle. Follow me on Twitter. My name is Razzle2. And on Reddit, my name is Razzle3. And
is
yeah,
it really?
Yeah. And it's not out yet, but it hasn't even filmed yet. But I booked a movie. It's a straight to DVD.
Awesome! Congrats,
yeah,
dude.
You know, it's a small, you know, straight to DVD kids movie. But it's you know, sounds like it's gonna be fun. I'm making it really fun. Like I'm, you know, giving them some fun ideas and stuff like that. So yeah, it's you know.
Awesome.
Do that and tell your friends and you know, be cool and listen, do what Nate said, and then buy Dan's book.
Yeah, you can find me online at Osteoferocious on Twitter, Instagram, all those fun places. I have a book out now. If you order it now, it's on Amazon. It'll be in bookstores on May 1st. It's called 100 Things Avengers Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And yeah, I'm going to have some signings soon. I think the first one, if you're in the Los Angeles area, is going to be at the Burbank Barnes & Noble on May 2nd. So that is the day after the book and the movie come out. So go see the movie.
Dan, I'm real excited for you, bro.
Yeah, thank you. It should be fun.
It's about to be a good
time. It's going to be a good couple weeks.
All right. Well, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I will. I will. I'll get myself something from the Starbucks in that store. and yeah, and if you want to talk to us online for the podcast, well, guess what? You're in luck. You can find the podcast on Twitter at TWL Podcast. Want to send us an email? Good. We want to hear from you. Today We Learn Podcast at gmail.com. We're also on Facebook. Today We Learn Razzle and Dan. And thank you so much for all the kind words you've left on iTunes and the reviews. Please keep reviewing, sharing, liking, starring, faving, and other verbs, whatever you want to do.
All your favors.
Yeah. Yeah. So calling it all your favors.
All the favors, all the guys you know. Thank you for calling the guys
you
know.
Thanks for calling Jake in accounting and Mike from HR. I think that about does it.
I think so.
Yeah.
Nice job, boys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And as always.
And as always, where we're going, we don't need 2% milk.
Thanks, everybody.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.